Hello, friends. Welcome to worship today. It is the second Sunday in Lent, but we still celebrate Jesus resurrected. So come and worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the call to worship for today. Pilgrims, we are invited to journey through the season of Lent towards the one who calls us each by a new name. Disciples, we walk with Jesus wherever he leads us, pulling our fears, our doubts, our longings behind us. Believers, we seek to trust the God who always surprises us, whose promises take on flesh and blood in the good news called Jesus. And relishing that good news, we light the Christ candle, for he is the light of the world. Let's open our hearts and minds to the things of God as we worship and pray together. In this time, precious Lord, we pray that you will illuminate our understanding of how we can follow you more closely, laying down the things that bind us and prevent us from being your disciples. Help us to recognize the privilege we live in and the comfort we have built for ourselves to turn our lives to your way, the way of the cross. In your name and for your sake, we ask these things. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession. God, we humble ourselves now in confession. We want to be followers of Jesus, but we do not always want to follow Jesus. We don't even want to listen when the conversation turns toward darkness and death. We prefer to indulge ourselves. We are eager to put down our crosses. We cling tightly to our lives. We grasp at worldly rewards. Holy and loving God, forgive all of our thoughts and actions that would protect us from the path of Christ. Amen.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, hear the good news. Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and was buried, but that is not the end of the story, and it's certainly not the end of our story. For on the third day, Christ rose from the dead, defeating death once and for all so that you and I might live as redeemed people. That means that I get to announce to you today that our sins have been forgiven. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Please join me in the responsive psalm for today, Psalm 22, verses 23 to 31. Give praise, all you who fear God. Proclaim God's greatness, all you children of Jacob. Stand in awe, and all you children of Israel. For God has neither despised nor scorned the poor in their distress. You, O God, have not hidden your face from them. You heard them when they called to you. You are the theme of my praise in the great assembly. I will keep my promise in the presence of those who fear you. Let the poor eat to satisfaction. Let those who seek you praise you. May they be in good heart forever. Let all the ends of the earth remember and turn to you, O God. Let all the families of the nations bow down before you. For yours is the dominion, O God. You rule over the nations. Even all who sleep in the grave shall worship you. Those who go down into the dust shall bow before you. I too shall live for you. Our children shall serve you and tell generations yet to come about you. To a people yet unborn, they shall make known the saving deeds you have done. Amen. And today's reading is from the Gospel of Mark, and I'm reading in chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, our reading today begins in an interesting and yet easy to miss way. It starts, "Then he began to teach them." We'll get to what he taught them in a minute, but for now, can we just notice that word, "then"? "Then" is a word that connects what Jesus was about to do with what comes before. It suggests that there is an order of things that is important here. And we can clearly see what that order is when we do what the lectionary developers didn't do and look at what happened right before this. Immediately before Jesus launched into his teaching, he had singled Peter out and asked him directly, "Who do you say that I am?" And remember, Peter answered clearly, "You are the Messiah." He was convinced by that point that Jesus was the one all Israel had been waiting for. He was the Messiah in whom they could all put their hope. The Messiah through whom they would finally know that life and freedom that God had been promising them since the days of Abraham. So Peter proclaimed in his outside voice that Jesus is the one. And Mark tells us that then, and only then, did Jesus begin to teach them what was coming. That he would undergo great suffering, that he would be rejected by the religious authorities, that he would be killed, and then that after 3 days, he would rise again. It seems that Jesus needed his disciples to get to the point of accepting that he truly was the one God had sent to rescue them before he shocked them by telling them exactly what kind of Messiah he would be and how exactly their rescue was going to come. That the way of Jesus would, in fact, be the way of the cross. On this day, there were no parables to interpret, no cryptic lessons to try to distill from strange words. Jesus spoke directly, clearly, simply. He needed them to hear and understand exactly what was going to happen. Now, understandably, they were shocked and confused, As we heard, Peter took Jesus aside and he tried to sort him out and earned his own rebuke in the process. And then Jesus had a little go at Satan, telling him he has no idea how God works. And finally, Jesus turned to his disciples and to the people in the crowd who had gathered that day. And he began to explain to them about what we have come to call the way of the cross. Well, this is one of those passages where the phrasing that Eugene Peterson uses in his Message translation of the Bible can help us to get a clearer sense of what Jesus is saying, especially as we read it in verses 34 and 35. So explaining what he meant when he told his disciples and the crowd that they would need to take up their crosses, he said this: "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self." The way of the cross is the way Jesus himself modeled for his followers. By this point, he clearly knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to need to sacrifice himself, and he was prepared to embrace the suffering that would come with that. He could have helped himself, saved himself the pain, but as we who live on this side of the cross know, he didn't do that. Instead, he willingly set aside what he wanted in order to do what needed to be done for the good of us all. Jesus walked and lived the way of the cross. He gave himself for us. Friends, remember, Jesus didn't want to die. His prayer in the garden on the night of his arrest shows us that. And despite what we sometimes slip into thinking, God didn't condemn him to die. Jesus made his own choice to set aside his desires in order to do what he and his Father and the Holy Spirit realized needed to be done. God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, understood something that we all still struggle to grasp. That the only way to actually disarm the power of death was for Jesus to willingly face it head on. Death's defeat did not come by Jesus fighting death. It came when he let death try to do its worst through the humans that had him killed. And in that, he showed us that death didn't have the last word. God did. On the morning of that third day when Jesus raised from death to life. So yes, the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. But as became crystal clear on that beautiful Sunday morning, the way of the cross is also the way to life. This has been the message of the Christian church since our very first days. Read the book of Acts. As soon as the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born, the apostles began preaching this same message over and over and over again. In every sermon you read in the early part of Acts, you hear the same words. Starts with Peter in Acts 2, right after Pentecost. "You, with the help of wicked men, put Jesus to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Again, Peter in Acts 3, just the next chapter, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." And again in Acts 4, Peter, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. And then in Acts 5, before the Sanhedrin, Peter and the apostles testified, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. From the very start, the apostles were obviously compelled to tell anyone who would listen that as strange as it seemed, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, had proven that life doesn't actually work the way we think it does. That Jesus' way of the cross didn't lead to death, but it's actually the way to life. So what does that mean to those of us who aren't likely in much danger of being crucified? How do we, from the relative comfort of our lives today, take up our own crosses and walk this way of the cross? Well, in the biblical story, the story of the fall of humankind shows us that we all actually share a common weakness. We all have this tendency to want what we want. We want to chart our own course in life. And we can all be tempted into believing the devil's little lie that the best life can be found by deciding what it is I want and then going after it. It's basically the lesson from the story of the fall. The serpent tempted Eve not to trust in God's direction, but instead to take matters into her own hands. Matters that are actually characterized in the form of the forbidden fruit in that story. And it's what Satan tried to tempt Jesus to do over and over again during his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Do it the way that makes sense, Jesus, the way that you know that you can and want to do it. It's also what Peter slipped into thinking here in this story after Jesus explained that he was going to die. Peter thought that was absolutely crazy. The Messiah wouldn't win people's freedom by dying. Life just doesn't work that way. Except that as Jesus taught his disciples and has shown us through his own life, death, and resurrection, actually it does. Remember what he taught them here. He explained, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self. So then how do you and I walk our own way of the cross? Well, it starts like it has done for every follower of Christ since the beginning, by asking for God's grace and help, the Holy Spirit's loving help, with two things. The first is asking the Spirit to help us to recognize and to face the truth in ourselves that there are times when we all want what we want. The second thing we need to seek the Spirit's help with is being able to see and believe that the life we truly want, the life that we were all created for, it's not something we take for ourselves. It's something that God gives over and over again every day as we follow as Jesus leads, walking the way of the cross, each in our own way, and seeking God's will more than our own. Amen.
Served, but to serve. and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our life as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. That speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our enthrone Him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to
good morning, everybody. I'm proposing that we pray responsively today, as we often do. I'm going to place a pause after each section, and I'd urge you to add your own petitions during that pause. And then after that pause, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you may respond, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Amazing God, creator of us all, creator of this planet, and creator of the heavens, we worship you. You lay out such majesty for us in the earth you've given us to live on and to care for. And on top of all of that, you love us unconditionally. You inspire us, God.
Help us to follow your Son Jesus in how we work and play, how we listen to others with love, and how we can stand up for those whose knees are wobbling. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we journey through Lent, we remember your Son Jesus' time in the desert, fasting, praying, and listening. Give us the capacity to pause a bit during Lent and reflect. And we ask, Spirit, that you speak to us during those times of pause. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the dynamic board retreat earlier this month and pray for the upcoming congregational meeting, which will be held after the Sunday service. We give thanks for every member of this congregation and for the way they just dig into the work you've asked us to undertake. Continue to inspire us. Nurture and encourage our ministers, our staff, our ministry leaders, and our elders. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick, those who suffer and have to deal with being alone and loneliness. Move us to become more aware of our surroundings, especially those who live outside in the wet and the cold. We give thanks for the energy of the organizers, the generosity of the donors, and the stamina of the walkers involved in Saturday's cold night of the year, which is coming very soon. Wow, what an effort has gone into making this a successful time. Your hand was so present, God. Please bless the money that is being raised now and help us put it to the very best use. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who grieve. It's so hard to lose those we love. Help them feel your comforting hand. And I'd urge you now to name those on your heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers and our own petitions to you, Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the three in one. Now let's finish with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we are very grateful for the tithes and offerings that help to run the ministries and work of God here at St. Stephen's. Let's pray together, offering these gifts up to God for the fulfilling of his purposes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love for us has been demonstrated by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. With these gifts, we would show our love for you. Bless the gifts and those who gave, we pray, that they may be used to carry on your works of love. Amen.
Friends, go now and live before God with openness and integrity. Set your mind on the ways of God, not clinging to your own life, but taking up your cross and following Jesus. And may God give you a share in the eternal covenant. May Christ Jesus throw his arms around you when he comes in glory. And may the Holy Spirit help you to grow strong in faith and lead you in the ways of life. Go now in peace and love to serve the Lord. Amen.
Take my hand, 'cause there